Our reading this morning is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 to 27. One body, many parts. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all of its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each one. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Amen.
Morning. That was a very sleepy sort of good morning. Is that how we're doing today? It's good to be here gathered together again, to come together as a church to worship God, to seek his face, to express our love for him and experience his love for us. And I hope also to exercise a little our love for one another. Those of us who regularly worship here at Whitley Bay Baptist Church will know that we've been thinking together about how to love our church, what it means to love our church, how we are called to be a community of God's people, a family that belong to Jesus, and how part of belonging to him, part of being church, is encouraging each other, spurring each other on, loving each other. And today we come to think about this passage in 1 Corinthians 12, which talks about a body. As we begin, let me ask you this question to think about. What does it mean to be part of something? What does it mean to be part of something that is greater than yourself? To be part of something bigger than just you? I don't think it is very common for people to be invited to be part of something. Even when we look at things that automatically are groups of people, you look at football teams and you think, These days, people are very rarely part of a football team for more than a handful of seasons. It is rare for them to commit to one team and be part of that team and committed to it for long. They're there as long as that's the best place for them to be. And then when someone offers them a bit more money or the promise of a bit more playing time, they move to a team down the road. It is uncommon to be invited to really be part of something. We have been taught, I think, all of us, to come and to spend, to come and to take. The stuff I do is about what I'm going to get from it, what I'm going to gain. Work out what we can get from things, everything in life, be it the latest iPhone or the job we've applied for, or even our relationships. The way we are taught is, what am I going to get out of this? What's in it for me? And the point at which what's in it for me is less than the amount of effort I'm putting into it, that's the point to look for the next thing. Rarely are we invited to be part of something, to participate and commit and invest our time and energy, knowing that we might not get as much out of it as we have to put in. That fundamentally there is something deeper, there is something more important than what I might gain. That somehow being part of something can be a reward in itself. But this is what church should be like, I think. Sometimes churches have fallen into the trap of that consumer mindset, that idea that it's about what we can get out. And we think, if only our church is a bit more fun for those who come. If only our music in church can rival the greatest gig. If only our preacher is as engaging as the best comedian. If only our coffee is better than the Costa down the road, then people will come, then people will stay. If only our church were more attractive. And you know what? Sometimes those things work. People do come and stay and chat if the coffee here is better than the Costa down the road. They do come to listen to the preacher who tells joke after joke after joke and makes them laugh. Because it's nice to be entertained and to have nice coffee. But I would argue that that's not what church is. I'm not sure those people who come for entertainment are really part of church, because being part of the body of Christ is not about weighing the pros and cons, what I get each week compared to what I give. It is about committed, loving relationships with your adopted brothers and sisters. It's about investing time and energy into something because that something is important. And when everywhere else in life we are encouraged to think about what we might gain from our investment of time and energy and indeed money, it's hard to change our way of thinking when it comes to church. That's why the writer to the Hebrews says we need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, because being part of the church of Christ involves a whole new way of thinking, a whole different way of thinking. There is so much that I could say about this passage we have before us today. So much of it is so very important. And you know, this is why sometimes preachers go on and on for what seems like hours. This is why sometimes you're sat shuffling in your seat at the end of church. It's not generally because we want to bore you to tears. That is not usually my goal. It is because we come to a passage and we look at it and there is something in there that we passionately believe is some of the most important stuff that you're going to hear. And we want you not just to hear it and to know it, but to take it in to your heart. And so we repeat things over and over again in the hope that you might just remember a little bit. And this morning there's so much that I don't want you to miss out on. And that sounds like a setup for a long sermon, doesn't it? I'll do my best. I don't want you to miss out on hearing that God has given you good gifts that can be used for his glory and for the encouragement of your heavenly sisters and brothers, for building his kingdom, for loving the church. I don't want you to miss out on hearing how important you are to this body, to the body of Christ. How important it is that you are part of this body, working in and through it as God has called you to do. I don't want you to miss out on hearing how the church as a whole will grow closer to God, depending upon how each individual is drawn to him and nurtured by this family. I don't want you to miss out on thinking about how and why you might use your gifts for his kingdom. And we are talking about the gifts we have, the part that we have to play. And inevitably, there will be some of you sat there thinking, I have no gifts, or my gifts are not important, I have nothing to bring. And if that is you, if that is what you're thinking, simply, you are wrong. And if you don't know what your gifts are, I suggest ask a friend, because often they know better than we do what skills we have, what God has given us. And you know what? If you're still not certain what your gifts are, if you think that you might be good at welcoming people, or you might be good at drawing alongside people in prayer, or you might be good at playing the banjo, whatever it is that you think you might be able to do, give it a go. One of the ways in which we learn our gifts is to test them. One of the ways we grow in the gifts that we have is to use them. And so you say, please, can I join the welcome team for a few months? Or can I help with the children and young people for a while? Or can I join the prayer team? Or can I preach a sermon? Or can I serve coffee this week? Or can I play a banjo solo next Sunday morning? For the glory of God. Ask. Test your gifts. Sometimes when we test our gifts in this way, we will fail. Sometimes we will make mistakes. Sometimes things will not go well. But that's okay, isn't it? Because we are family here. And we love each other. And we know that trying and failing, trying and not getting it quite right, is part of how we grow. And you know, we all need the gifts that one another can bring. And that's a huge part of what this passage is about. For the body of Christ to be whole, we need our hands and feet and eyes and ears, our livers and lungs, our elbows and eyebrows. I used to work in Marks and Spencer's, mostly selling homeware. And towards the end of my time there, the powers that be had decided they were spending too much money on staffing. And so, like many workplaces, for a while, when staff left, they wouldn't be replaced. We had to try and offer the same level of service with less staff. I'm sure many of you can relate to that sort of thing. And the truth is that some of the staff that left, before they went, I would have said they were an absolute waste of space. They just stood there at the till and did nothing else but stand there all day. But when they left, we missed them. Because we could not possibly do everything we were supposed to do to the same standard without them. We needed them and the part that they played in the life of that shop. I used to be governor of a primary school in Potter's Bar. A school that was struggling in lots of ways, and one of the ways in which it was struggling was to recruit governors with the right set of skills, the skills that it needed. I think that's how I got on, because I didn't really have any skills, so they were pretty desperate. And we desperately needed people with HR and financial experience to be on the resource committee of the governing board. And you know, I knew that one of the other governors who sat on the curriculum committee with me, who wasn't interested in doing any of the finance and the resource side of things, I knew that she had a background in finance, that she'd worked in similar organisations to the school in the past. But she kept her experience and her skills to herself because she didn't want to get involved in that side of things. She kept the gifts that she had to herself, and the whole school was poorer for it. You know, when we think about what gifts we might have and what gifts we might not have, sometimes we count ourselves out. We say, I'm not sure if I can do that. I'm not sure if I'm good enough, or I don't want to get involved in that side of things. Sometimes we say, I'm too old, or I'm too tired, I haven't got enough time. Sometimes we count ourselves out. Sometimes other people count us out. They don't ask us to do things because they think that we're too old or too tired or too busy. Sometimes, and I have heard people say in churches, well, I've done my bit. I served God for 20 years. I did coffee for 20 years. I did it. I've done my time, and now I'm done. Do you know, when you receive a sentence to the family of God, when you become a Christian, it is a life sentence. There is no, I've done my bit, I've done my time. We have seasons in our life. We might do different things at different times. We might serve and play our parts in different ways at different times. But you can never get out of it. And every single person has a part to play. And I don't care how old you are or how difficult you find things. If you could speak to someone, email someone, pray for or with someone, you can phone someone up. You have a part and an important, an incredibly important part to play in the family of God. We all have gifts. In church, God has given us one another. He has made us a family, adopted us as his children. We are brothers and sisters. He has bound us together in the body of Christ. And we are called to work with and for each other, to share the gifts we have, no matter how meager they might seem to us, so that the whole body might thrive. Because when one member of the body, when one part of this whole, through lack of confidence, through lack of opportunity, through unwillingness to get involved, when one part fails to play the part, the role that God has called them to, we are all worse off for it. We are all poorer. The whole church suffers. And maybe for some of us, that means we need to think a bit more about making sure there are opportunities for others. There are so many good analogies I could use here. An engine with a part that is broken, a computer with a small component that has failed, a clock with a missing cog. None of these things work properly unless all the bits are included and functioning and part of the whole. You know, one of the biggest problems in the church in Corinth was to do with status. There were some among them who were rich, who had influence and power, and there were others there who were slaves. There were Jews and Gentiles, and what had happened was segregation, separation. If you flick back to chapter 11, you'll find Paul complaining that what they called the Lord's Supper in the Corinthian church was no such thing. What they were doing could not possibly be the Lord's Supper because some were left out. Those who had plenty were getting drunk while others were left hungry. And this is what Paul talks about later in that chapter. He speaks of those who eat the bread and drink the cup in an unworthy manner. He says, you must examine yourselves because those who do so without discerning the body of Christ, calling judgment eating and drinking judgment upon themselves. He is calling out those who cause division and disunity in the church. That bit about eating and drinking in an unworthy manner, it's not about the sins that you have, the things that you've done wrong that no one else knows about, that's just between you and God. Those are important, you do need to seek forgiveness for them. But eating and drinking in an unworthy manner is entirely about division in the body of Christ. Some people leaving others out. Disunity in the church. That's how important it is that we are one. That we all have a role to play. That no one is left out or left behind. Because in terms of importance, in terms of the gifts we have, in terms of the value that we have to the creator of the universe, every single member, every part of the body is integral, is important, and is needed. All of us are sinners saved by the grace of God. All of us are people made holy by the work of Jesus. You can't look at the preacher or the band or the one leading the prayers and say, those are the holy ones. Either we are all holy, or none of us are. And so in church, verse 20 of chapter 12 says, there should be no division, and all the parts should have equal concern for each other. When you damage your foot, the rest of your body has to kick in to compensate. If you hurt your back, the rest of your body takes the strain of that damage. When part of your body is in pain, the rest of your body, the hurt is felt through the rest of your body. This is how it should be with the church. We are one, we are united. When one of us is hurt, it hurts us all. When one is left behind or left out, we are damaged. And when one of us succeeds, we should all rejoice. To cycle back to using our gifts, when someone in our church family grows in their gifts, when someone uses what God has given them for his glory, that is a success for every single one of us. We are called to encourage and to spur each other on. Because as one of us grows closer to God, the church as a whole grows closer to him. As one of us learns to love the church better, we all love and are loved more. The church of Christ is an organism, one body, and its growth or its decay, its success or its failure, depends upon us all caring for each other, building one another up, spurring each other on in our relationships with Jesus. It depends upon us encouraging one another. Think on that. Our growth or decay as a church is dependent upon each part playing its part, on each of us growing, including our children, including our young people, including parts of our church family that we don't see on a Sunday morning, that might be here for other things during the week, that might just be part of our church family at the other end of a computer screen. I wonder how we are using our gifts to help them grow, to help others to grow. How are we encouraging? How are we encouraging our children and young people in the gifts that they might have? Are we just hoping they've got leaders and they'll deal with that bit? I could go on and on. I need to stop. We're going to do something more important than listen to me in just a minute. Let me leave you with two things. The first is this thought. This passage, all about the church working together. This passage is all about us needing each other, about us using our gifts for one another and for the glory of Christ, who is head of the body. This passage leads straight into the one that we looked at a few weeks ago about love. The two things are inseparable. The body of Christ is bound together by love, by his love for us and our love for him and our love for each other. All the parts of the body living and working together, using our gifts for the good of one another and the glory of God, it only works because of the love of Jesus for each of us, flowing into us and overflowing from us. And finally, a question. How do you love your church? How can you use your gifts for the good of others and the glory of God? How can you encourage your brothers and sisters in Christ to do the same thing? What part do you have to play? Let me pray. Father God, I praise and thank you that you have given us one another. That no one of us has to be good at everything. No one of us has to try and play every part in the life of this church. But that we can rely upon one another. That we can care for one another. That we can build each other up. And I pray, Father God, that you would help each of us to think about how we might do that. To think about those two things we can do. What part can we play and how can we encourage others in their part too? I pray, Father God, that as a church we would leave no one behind. That there would be no division of those who do and who can and those who just come and get. Either because they have opted out for themselves of participating or because we have given them no opportunity to participate. May we all together work with one another for the good of each other and for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.